Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Glad to be talking about Kentucky again on this podcast. Didn't have it last year for the first time in forever with Mississippi State and the Wildcats not matching up in the regular season. John Hale, our old friend from the Lexington Herald Leader, joins us. Glad to have him back with us here on the podcast. And you know, interesting spring at Kentucky. You know, a team that a couple years ago, you know, they win 9 games and you think, okay, this is a program. They're off and running. They're about to, you know, maybe make another step forward. And it's just been kind of a slide back for them the past few years. They've missed in the transfer portal on some quarterbacks. It just hasn't been the kind of consistent winning that Mark Stoops was doing there for a little while. What's the mood at Kentucky coming into this spring?
Frustrated, for sure. I mean, I think there were plenty of fans who were ready to move on and start something different after last season. That was never realistic. I mean, they went 4-8. They lost their 8-year bowl streak, but he's still the all-time winningest coach in program history. You don't fire that guy, regardless of what his contract situation is after one losing season. But you add in the fact that he makes $9 million a year. He's signed for 6 or 7 more years. The buyout would have been the second largest in college football history behind only Jimbo Fisher. Like, that's never a realistic possibility. That being said, now you're in a spot where you're bringing back a guy who some fans are disappointed with, who's obviously disappointed in their own performance, who clearly wanted out a year ago when he tried to get the Texas A&M job. And it's not a great spot right now. They're in a weird dynamic for the fans. Mark Stoops came out on the first day of spring football and basically said, "Don't ask me about specific players. I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to hype anybody up," which is bad for us. But I do have some sympathy because it's kind of a reflection of the reality that nothing he says between now and September is going to change anybody's mind. Either you're still on board, you're still optimistic, or you think it's over with. They just got to go out and win games this fall to prove that he still has it and that he can still win here. And until they do that, there's going to be a lot of people unhappy.
Why is Zach Calzada going to be what Devin Leary and Brock Vandegrift were not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, honestly, at this point, after watching what happened last year, they would take what Devin Leary gave them in a heartbeat. I mean, he was a guy who still got drafted and ended up in an NBA on a practice squad or an NFL practice squad for most of last season. So he was not great by any means. He made lots of mistakes down the stretch, but he was way better than what they had last year, and I think that reflected in it. I think the best hope for Zach Calzada, and I tell this probably means more to Kentucky fans locally, is for him to turn out to be a guy like Steven Johnson, who was their quarterback in this beginning of this uptick with Mark Stoops. He was a quarterback in 2016, 2017. He was not the most gifted guy. He was never going to be an NFL quarterback, but he was really gritty. He could make plays with his legs. He had a decent arm. Like, that's kind of what Calzada does. The numbers he put up at Incarnate Word, like, those aren't realistic. The competition is going to be much better, but also the system's just very different. But if he could do what he did at Texas A&M as a freshman, like throw for 2,600 yards and 18 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, they would take that in a heartbeat next year, assuming that they have a competent rushing attack to go with it and a better offensive line. The big X factor, though, is they still have Cutter Bowley on the roster, who's now going to be a redshirt freshman quarterback who they think is the quarterback of the future, who showed some real glimpses down the stretch, who's definitely probably a more talented quarterback than Zach Calzada. It's Zach's job for now, but Mark Stoops is so desperate to get this turned around that if Cutter Bowley has a huge offseason and comes out in August in camp and looks like the better guy, they'll just play him because they have to do that. So I think you go into it assuming that Calzada is the guy, but leave open the door that the young guy might make strides to take it over.
When I think about Kentucky under Stoops, I always think about the running game. He's always had a quality back there. Dante Dowdle is a name that's very familiar to us here in the state of Mississippi, a Picayune kid. State recruited him hard out of high school, recruited him hard in the transfer portal. He ends up at Kentucky. Is he going to be a guy who can play that Chris Rodriguez role from a few years ago?
Yeah, that's what they recruited Chip Trainum from the transfer from Ohio State to do last year. That's what they hoped he was going to do. And then he was hurt for basically the entire season. And by the time he came back late in the year, he had kind of gotten past and they had other guys. So I think Dowdle, they hope that that's his role, that he can do that. He's certainly more proven in Nebraska than even Trainum was at Ohio State and Arizona State before that. That's a good thing. But their big play home run guy still at running back is going to be Jamarion Wilcox, who's another Deep South recruit who showed a lot of promise as a redshirt freshman last year, but had some, you know, some issues like learning the playbook, doing some of the little things that you need to do. Like, multiple times last season, he ran out of his shoes because they weren't tied correctly and had to come off the field after a big run. So, like, that's kind of a symptom of the program as a whole right now. So between those two guys, I think there's real hope to have a competent rushing attack, but it's clear they needed that guy who can come out when everybody in the stadium knows you're going to run and still get 2 yards. They didn't have it last year, and the hope is that Dowell is that guy now.
The transfer portal really has a lot of effect on this Kentucky offensive line. When you look at them, that is a lot of new faces at positions where you'd like to have older faces. What do you think about this line? Can they be good enough in this season?
Yeah, it's going to be the X factor for the whole year, I think. I mean, they were terrible in 2022. The offensive line was maybe the worst in the country. They got better in 2023, but then still went and fired their offensive line coach at the end of the year when Eric Wolford, who was their former O-line coach, who was at Alabama, became available after Saban returned. So you bring Wolford back hoping, okay, this is what's going to really get back to the big blue wall, as they call it in Kentucky. And they took a step back last year. There's just no other way to do it. Some of that's transfer portal misses. Some of it's younger guys not getting developed. They're really at a spot where they're still feeling the effects of those two or three recruiting classes as John Schlarman, their beloved longtime coach, got ill before he died. Like, they missed some stuff in that cycle that's hurting them now. But you go out and get probably 4 starters from the portal. So even one of your returning guys has probably gotten recruited over at this point. Most of them are coming from smaller schools, though. They look the part. They're mature. They're physical, all of those things. But there's a real question, like, how does Shiaz Pete, their new left tackle, how do you make the leap from New Mexico State to the SEC? They did get Joshua Braun at guard from Arkansas, so he's got experience. But their right tackle, Alex Wolfschlager, is coming from Bowling Green. They got another – their center's coming from Western Kentucky. So, like, those guys have some things to prove at this level. The hope is that if Wolford's as good an offensive line coach as they've hyped him up to be, that he made the evaluations to do it. Luckily, all of those guys are on campus this spring, so they've got some time to build some continuity. But, you know, until we see them do it, it's a real question.
It's the same story on the other side of the ball in the defensive line. I can't remember a Kentucky team that had this little experience coming back in the trenches, but it looks like you're going to have maybe 3-4 new starters there as well. McQuise Humphrey Grace is a guy Mississippi State recruited really heavily out of the portal, desperately wanted to get him to Starkville as a pass rusher. Is this going to be a Kentucky defensive line that you can trust in SEC play?
Yeah, I mean, they do at least have some backup guys who are part of the rotation coming back, who I think factor in it. So a guy like Josiah Hayes, who is a nose guard, he might not start, but he's going to play equal snaps there. He was hurt for most of last year, then came back last, a Mississippi guy who, you know, they're going to count on. Khalil Saunders, another defensive lineman coming back, who's played a lot, not been the guy. Like, those guys will be in the rotation, but you're right. The transfers are going to have to carry the load. Humphrey Grace is probably the biggest name there. Being a Cincinnati guy, they had some connections there that helped them get that over the line. But they need David Gusta, the transfer from Washington, who's going to play nose, to be a difference maker. Like, he's a guy who has that kind of NFL potential, but he's got to go out and prove it. They got another transfer, Jaden Williams from Wyoming. So another guy from a small school who's going to have to prove it at this level. The edge rusher is going to be completely new. I mean, J.J. Weaver had been here for like 6 years. Now he's gone. You got to find a new edge rusher. So they got Cam Olds from Kent State, Sam Green from USC, a guy who barely played at USC last year. So those questions, again, like, they've got in their secondary, they've got a lot of guys coming back who played last year, but that front seven could be almost completely overhauled versus what it was for the first half of the year.
I feel like we're asking a lot of questions about Kentucky. What do we know about Kentucky? What do we know about this team coming into spring?
Yeah, not a lot. That's really it. Because I mentioned, like, secondary is a spot where they have so much experience back, but those guys didn't play up to their standard last year. It's not like what they wanted them to perform, so they need to take a step forward. Special teams, you lose your kicker who was all SEC last year. You've got a decent punter coming back. But on offense, they can have 9 new starters, and on defense, it could be 6 or 7. And so, like, we don't really know a lot about this team. I think that they're going to have a decent run game between Wilcox and Dowdle, but, like, I don't know that for sure. I think their inside linebackers are going to be okay because they got 2 guys, and Alex Safari and Davern Rayner, who were on the team last year in supporting roles, ready to step into a new role. But I don't know that until they go out and prove it. And neither of them are the biggest guys, so they got to worry about getting hurt in this league. So, that's a long way of saying I don't know that we know a lot at all. Like, I don't think there's any givens with this team at this point.
As a guy who covers Mississippi State, I'm not trying to overlook Toledo because I know what happened in that situation last year. But for Kentucky, Ole Miss coming in week 2, we're going to learn about this team awfully quick. That's an Ole Miss team that's going to come to Lexington. You know they're going to want some revenge for what happened down in Oxford last year. what are we going to learn about this team that early in the season? They also play South Carolina before we get into October. They have two massive games in the first month of the season.
Yeah, it feels like a real tipping point in terms of that conversation we were having about the fan base and their faith in Mark Stoops, because like they're going to want them to go out and prove it. And because the way the schedule sets up, you could be 1-4 at one point, 1-2 and 3, and people will have been totally checked out by that point, even if you know the schedule has some winnable games down the stretch. So we're going to learn a lot. I mean, they're going to have to you're right. They can't overlook Toledo. That's a good team that, you know, could absolutely come in and beat Kentucky if they play like they did last season. And so like that's going to be a difficult one, but maybe it's good in some ways that you will be tested week one, because then you know a little more than you would have otherwise going into those SEC games. It's not going to be a situation where you just beat some FCS team by 45 and didn't really learn anything about your team. So like that, it starts right away, which is why the urgency is there right now. They know they can't waste days in December, January, or March, because it's going to happen early for that team.
We've talked a lot about transfers. Are there any freshmen coming in that we should keep an eye on for Kentucky?
Yeah, that's interesting, but it does feel like Kentucky went in knowing that this is kind of a must-win year. They went all in on the portal. They do have a decent high school class that's ranked up there. They have a couple receivers who are probably going to play some. DJ Miller, a four-star kid from the St. Louis area, he'll probably play a little bit. On defense, Martellus Carter is a local kid, a safety from Western Kentucky. He's definitely going to play. But it's going to be complementary roles. I don't think they have a freshman on this team that they're going to expect to start from day one like they did with, you know, Barion Brown and Dane Key a few years ago. Like, it's going to be the portal who has to carry most of that weight.
All right, we're wrapping this up with the same question we're asking everybody who does these interviews. Today is March 25th as we're sitting here. When I come back to you after Kentucky-Louisville, what am I saying about this Kentucky team?
Right now, I mean, not knowing more, I think we're talking about whether there's coaching change. Like, I think it's hard to see a path for them getting to 6 wins at the moment before we just know whether these transfers have panned out. And, you know, I'm leaving that door open. I think it's certainly possible that they could be that good. But with so many questions, I just can't pick it right now. And if they're not in a bowl game after that Louisville game, that's going to be the conversation. I personally don't think you still can fire him because the buyout's going to be that big. But he has been so open about the frustrations and the toll that the NIL and the portal and all that is, there seems to be some people who think like maybe he'd just walk away or maybe he'd negotiate a smaller buyout. That's the conversation we're going to be having after that Louisville game if they're not in the bowl.
What's the buyout if they fire him at the end of the season?
It's like $36 million, something like that. It's still a lot. Like it's too much to fire your winningest coach of all time. But also in this environment, like with everything coming to college football, you can't afford to not be good at football. And so they're going to have to figure that out.
Going to be an interesting season up there in the bluegrass. John Hale, Lexington Herald Leader, man, always appreciate you. I guess I'll see you maybe next year. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Thanks for having me.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.